Let me open up in a word of prayer, and then we'll get started. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this morning. Thank you for these ladies that are here, and thank you for their commitment to be here each week. We are so thankful for this ministry and just for the work that it has done in our own hearts. And God, I just pray that this morning is a profitable time, that we all listen with humility and teachability and just a desire to grow, because we know we need to be more like you. Father, thank you for the ladies over in Wellspring Kids. I pray that you give them lots of patience and perseverance and energy this morning. In your name, amen. All right, so we always start out with our discipline discussion. So go ahead and take your discipline sheet out, however you've chosen to keep it. So last week, I was watching a video with my kids, and it was this mom of multiple toddlers, and she had set up cameras around her house, and she let them run for about 24 hours. And then she went and edited and like spliced it all together and played it in super fast time. And it's amazing what moms of toddlers do. And there was a little part of me that misses it a little bit. I got teary-eyed while I was watching it. My kids couldn't believe. But I remember being in that season when taking a shower seems like an impossible feat. And spending time in God's word is really, really challenging. So the way my mornings work, this might give you hope if you've got lots of little ones, because you'll get there one day. My alarm goes off very, very early. I take a shower every day. I make a cup of coffee. I sit down. I drink it, and I read my Bible. I go upstairs. I wake up my kids. I get dressed. I wake them up again. And then I do my hair and my makeup, and I usually have to wake up at least one of them one more time. I take one to school, come back home, take the other to school, and then I go to work. And that's the way it is every single morning. It's a routine. But if you're a mom of a four-year-old and a two-year-old and a six-month-old, and I know many of you have more than that, the word routine doesn't really fit into your morning vocabulary. And we understand that. It's okay if you're in that season. We understand. One day you won't be in that season. And one day you might watch a video of a bunch of toddlers with their mom and start crying because you miss it. Trust me, you'll get there. So I had asked this week some moms, some of you out there, moms of multiple little ones, how you do it. How do you make God's word a priority in your life every day? And so that's what that half sheet is that I passed out. And that little piece was because I'm not good at proofreading and I missed one. So those are just some ladies in our group that have shared how they make God's word a priority in their lives. And each of those ladies have at least three children. So just so you know. And I think the thing to remember here is if you're struggling to make God's word a priority in your life, you're not alone. You're not the only one. And I remember back when we talked about picking a reading plan, we talked about the importance was not the plan. The importance is being in God's word. And so here it's the same thing. The importance is not the routine or your cup of coffee or where you sit. The importance is being in God's word. And so sometimes that just takes some creativity. So one resource that one of the ladies talked about was this book. It's called A Gospel Primer by Milton Vincent. And if you don't have it, they are for sale at the book ministry. They're $9. I double-checked this morning. And there's 12 copies, so feel free if you'd like to purchase one. Omri is the one that you contact for that. So it's really just a guide to help you preach the gospel to yourself. If you're not familiar with it, it's broken up into small sections, like little kind of like paragraphs, that just give like a really small but a really meaningful chunk of truth about the gospel. And sometimes this is a good thing to read in the morning so that you can meditate on this truth throughout the day. And that's a good way to shepherd your heart. So this book and other resources by no means replace the word of God, obviously. But it's just a helpful way to soak our minds in the truth of the gospel. So I'm going to read one of these sections this morning and just kind of show you how it fits in with our disciplines. Before we get to that, I'd like to read our disciplines. So would someone be willing to read our verse And then our purpose, our Wellspring purpose. Nicoletta. Thank you.
Proverbs 4:23, above all else, guard your heart, for it is the wellspring of life. Purpose, teach and encourage the women of Grace Bible Church to shepherd their hearts toward Jesus Christ with the word of God, so that they live gospel-transformed lives, thus strengthening the church in its gospel purpose.
Great. And does anyone want to read our disciplines for us? We just have Nicoletta do it again. Oh, I got to volunteer. Thanks, Shelley. Sure. Thanks.
Discipline on the heart. The faithful woman of God shepherds her heart worshipfully toward God through the word of God, and in particular, the gospel. Discipline two, the home. The faithful woman of God is concerned for those in her home and ministers to them with her heart fixed on God and his word. Discipline three,
thank you. Okay, so our Wellspring purpose states that we should live gospel-transformed lives. And one way to shepherd our hearts with the gospel is to daily remind ourselves of the gospel. The gospel is for unbelievers. The gospel is also for believers. We don't stop learning about the gospel when we become saved. The gospel contains everything that we need for life. It contains everything we need for godliness. It's the good news of salvation. So listen to this section. This is from page 14, if you would like to go back at some point and read it. This section is called The Power of God. Outside of heaven, the power of God in its highest density is found inside the gospel. This must be so, for the Bible twice describes the gospel as the power of God. Nothing else in all of Scripture is ever described in this way, except for the person of Jesus Christ. Such a description indicates that the gospel is not only powerful, but that it is the ultimate entity in which God's power resides and does its greatest work. Indeed, God's power is seen in erupting volcanoes, in the unimaginably hot boil of our massive sun, in the lightning speed of a recently discovered star seen streaking through the heavens at 1.5 million miles per hour. Yet in Scripture, such wonders are never labeled the power of God. How powerful then must the gospel be that it would merit such a title? And how great is the salvation it could accomplish in my life if I would only embrace it by faith and give it a central place in my thoughts each day? So the gospel is the power of God, and it is the power that can make us become faithful women of God and give us the ability to shepherd our hearts so that we can minister to those in our homes and those in the church, our disciplines. So I encourage you this morning to remember the gospel, to remember the power of God, to remember to remind yourself of the gospel every day. And even if it doesn't look like you want it to get into God's word every day, and to remind yourself of the truth of the gospel every day. So this morning, we have the privilege of hearing from Ann Engsted. For those of you who don't know Ann, she is married to Tom, one of our elders. She also oversees Wellspring Kids over there, which is why we don't often see her. But thank you for double dutying today. We appreciate it. So you can come on up.
It's fun to be on this side of the building. And we're really glad you guys are over here now, because we can be loud and crazy over there and not be picked up on the recorder. So, yay. Praise God. This room is such a blessing. So, let's pray, and then we'll jump in. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you this morning thankful. Thankful that we are here, that we are part of your church. Lord, you are a good and faithful God, and we love you. Lord, I do pray that today this lesson would encourage the ladies, and Lord, I know I need this lesson, so thank you. Thank you for your word. Thank you for Jesus. Thank you that he is the one that changes our hearts. Lord, that by your spirit, we can be women of God. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. So, here's my question for this morning, and you don't have to answer out loud. Driving here today, okay? Did you have a conversation with yourself? And if you didn't, I don't know. I don't think, well, maybe it's possible when you have little ones in the back that talk the whole time. But if you drove here by yourself like I did, you know, my thing is, okay, don't let that guy hit me. I'm going 75 miles an hour, which I'm sorry I was speeding. But people were flying past me, and I was in the HOV lane. So it's, you know, getting here on Thursdays is always, for me, dramatic. So if when I came and gave the Wellspring announcement about kids, I talked about getting over four lanes. So it is just a big deal. But what did your conversation sound like? Was it maybe, I am so excited. I get to go to Wellspring today. My kids will be in the kids' classes. This is just going to be wonderful. This is like the best day of my life. I'm so excited to tell everybody what I'm learning in God's Word because I spent 3 hours, okay? It's a beautiful day, which it is. Thank you, Lord. I'm thankful for my life. Did it sound like that? Or maybe you were saying, I don't want to go. I don't want to be there. All those ladies have their act together but me. Maybe you had that conversation. Did you maybe have thoughts like, I'm not even a believer. If those ladies knew what I had done in my life before I think I said I was a believer, they'd hate me. Did you have some really intrusive thoughts? Maybe. Okay. Maybe not today, but maybe a different day. Maybe that's something you struggle with. We're going to talk about some of that. And like so many things in life, these thoughts kind of fall on a spectrum. The really wholesome, I can't wait to get to church today, to, I'm not going. I'm turning my car around. I'm going home, and I'm going back to bed, okay? And there's spectrum, you know. Sometimes it can be wholesome, sometimes not so much. But you know what? And I don't like being recorded because here we go. Because the whole world can hear this. But you know what? God cares about our thoughts. And I'm going to tell you, this is convicting to me. I am teaching this lesson as one that needs this lesson, even though I'm probably, I'm looking. I think I'm the oldest woman in here. I think. I don't know. There's a couple of you. I'm not sure. Yeah, there's a couple that are saying. But I'm telling you, I don't have this figured out. And I think that's why they keep asking me to teach this lesson, because the Lord knows I need it. But God cares about our thought life, which I kind of wish he didn't, because that would make it a lot easier. Then I could just let this brain run wild. But he cares about them. Proverbs 15:26 says, the Lord detests the thoughts of the wicked, but those of the pure are pleasing to him. Now, I don't believe I'm one of the wicked, and I kind of wish that verse said the Lord detests wicked thoughts, because that would be way more helpful, but I think that's a true statement, so we'll go with that. But I wanted to share this with you. In Charles Bridges' commentary on this verse, he says, how lightly do most men think of the responsibility of their thoughts, as if they were their own and they might indulge them without restraint or evil? We are commanded in 2 Corinthians 10:5 to take every thought captive to make it obedient to Christ. So our thoughts are important. So we're going to talk about shepherding our hearts. That's the title of this lesson. And oftentimes, discipline one, the faithful woman of God shepherds her heart worshipfully toward God through the Word of God, and in particular the gospel. So you may hear that and think, well, shepherding my heart, that's a set time with my cup of coffee, you know, maybe in my jammies, maybe I've already showered, you know, but it's that set time of day where I'm sitting and I'm in God's Word. Yes, that is part of shepherding your heart. There's another aspect, and it's those thoughts driving to church. It's that time during the day where you're scrubbing the toilets, where you're at your job, where you're running after your kids, where you're, whatever the case may be, we need to shepherd our hearts then. So we're going to look kind of at both. But when you hear that, shepherding your heart, I think it's helpful to think of what, okay, so what's a shepherd? That is someone who herds, tends, and guards sheep, okay? Or a person who protects, guides, or watches over a person or group of people, or to watch over carefully, okay? And our heart, we've talked about this, I think you've heard this before, it's our inner man. It's not the thing that we sometimes have to take medicine for, but our heart, it's you. It's not a piece of you. It includes your thoughts, your desires, your opinions, your emotions, your attitudes. It's you. It's the control center of the human being. So if we put that together, to shepherd our heart means to tend, to guard, to watch over carefully your thoughts, your heart, your soul. It's, and I want to be careful of this statement, but it's to watch over me. Who I am. And that can become very self-serving in today's day. Oh, your job is to watch over you. What is to watch over your thoughts and to guard your hearts? And it is the Wellspring verse, above all else, guard your heart, for it is the wellspring of life. The next couple verses after that say, put away perversity from your mouth. Keep corrupt talk from your lips. Let your eyes look straight ahead. Fix your gaze directly before you. Make level paths for your feet and take only ways that are firm. Do not swerve to the right or to the left. Keep your foot from evil. So I want us today to look at the two different aspects of heart shepherding. We are going to go really, really fast through that time with the coffee or tea or water, or nothing. That time where your Bible is open, and then we're going to look at the rest of the time. So why do we shepherd our hearts by reading God's Word? Why do we do that? Well, Scott Maxwell says, we come to the Word of God to meet with the God of the Word. Where else are we going to hear from God? We are going to hear from God from His Word. And I know in your first week's homework, I believed you looked at some passages regarding the importance of God's Word. And I want to just quickly look at Psalm 19, which Psalm 19 is shorthand for Psalm 119. And it's helpful that they both have 19 in them because I can remember that. But here's just a few truths. If you pull out Psalm 19... I'm just going to read a few things about God's Word. Verse 7, the law of the Lord is perfect, restoring the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true, they are righteous altogether. All those things are truths about God's Word. That's why we spend time in God's Word. So why do we come before the Lord with our Bibles open? First thing, to grow in our knowledge of God and to know His will. How else am I going to know about God but in His Word? How am I going to know what He wants me to do but being in His Word? Having my Bible open, I will grow in expressing my love for God just as I read those verses, it's like, yes, God, you make the wise simple. Praise God. I will grow in my enjoyment and my delight for God and my delight in God. Come before the Lord with my Bible open so that I might grow in fear and reverence for God. When you see how big God is by being in His Word and what He does, you will grow in fear and reverence for God. I will also grow in my understanding of my need for God. I think sometimes, as Americans, we don't think we need God. We're pretty, you know, our daily bread, I think your cupboards are probably pretty full. Daily bread, you may not have bread in there, but you have enough to probably last for who knows how long, okay? But we need God, and sometimes we forget. By being in God's Word, my relationship with the Lord will grow. And I want to grow my relationship with the Lord. I will grow in holiness and maturity because I'll be in His Word, and I will know by reading His precepts how He wants me to live. Because there's things that before I became a Christian, I would do, I didn't even give a second thought to. So how do I live? I'm going to open my Bible, and God's Word is what's going to tell me. The time that we spend with that cup of coffee and our Bible, that builds the foundation for the rest of the time. And as Melissa said, there are a lot of different methods of how you spend time with the Lord. There's a bunch of different reading plans. God's Word is not specific that thou shall read chronologically. Thou shall read McShane's four places at a time. There isn't a command there, okay? There are lots of different methods, but the principle is that you spend time in God's Word and you worshipfully spend time with the Lord. So now I want to switch gears and look at where we live the majority of our life. While we're working, taking care of children, taking care of our homes, shopping, cleaning, driving, all the things that women do, where we spend the majority of our time. And that's the time that we often spend talking to ourselves. And we have to be so careful. What am I telling me? That, you know, even when our Bibles are open, I know if you're like me, sometimes my thoughts can run wild. Sometimes you need to read your Bible out loud. That helps if you're, you know, making your shopping list while you're reading your Bible. Either just make the list and then get back to your Bible. Sometimes that's a good thing to do. But sometimes it's just reading God's Word out loud. That can help your brain be engaged. So now as we look through that, you guys can have your spirals. And we're going to look at kind of when we're struggling and when we're not struggling quite as much. So the top one, I think, yours are opposite of mine, I think. Oh, that's an old one. Okay, do you have orange? Okay, orange is on top. Okay, great. So you have an old one. That threw me. I'm like, uh-oh. Okay, so we're going to look at the orange-ish spiral first. And this is where sometimes we can get in trouble with our thought lives. This is listening to myself and my thoughts and my reasoning, and it creates wrong thinking and a downward spiral. And it starts with, I desire. Okay, so a desire is to want something. It's to long or hope for something. Desires are not necessarily evil. One way to tell if your desire is evil is if I want something more than I want God, or if I'm willing to disobey God to get it. Is my desire self-centered, or is it a desire for God's will? We need to ask ourselves that. And there are some things, ladies, that we know are evil. Okay? If God's word teaches that something is sinful, we need to not do that. Like getting drunk, lying, stealing, we know those are wrong. We need to just repent, okay? But sometimes it's the desires for okay things. You know, it may be a neutral desire. It may be I want 10 grandchildren instead of just 5, okay? I have 5, okay? It may be I want a different house. It may be I want a newer car. It may be I want my children to respect me. It may be I don't want my children to ever fight with each other. None of those that I said are sinful, but sometimes even those neutral things, I want a new house, so I'm going to go get us a new house no matter what. That's not okay. It becomes sin when I want something at all cost. And it moves from that desire, like it says in the middle of the page, to I deserve. Well, of course, Lord, I deserve this. I've obeyed you. Why aren't you giving me what I want? I've prayed. I gave to the Lord, and look, he's not treating me fairly. That's where we spiral down. And then I go to, I demand. God, you must give me this. And really, how foolish is that? But it is shaking your fist at God. James 1:13 is the picture of this. Let no one say when he is tempted, I am being tempted by God. For God cannot be tempted by evil, and he himself does not tempt anyone. Here's the where you see that spiral. But each one is tempted when he is carried away and enticed by his own lust. Lust is another word for desire. Then when desire or lust has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And when sin is accomplished, it brings forth death. It is a downward spiral. And when you look at this, you will see the attitudes that come along with this. Being prideful and arrogant. And I'm not going to read the verses. I may read a few, but that can be your homework, is to go back and look them up. But it's being wise in my own estimation. It is being without peace, being bitter, loving pleasure and comfort. Those are the attitudes that we'll see when we are spinning in that spiral. Loving pleasure and comfort. It's being angry, anxious and fearful. It's being ungrateful. It's being envious and jealous. It's being hopeless. And then you'll see these kinds of actions. Demanding. It will be demanding that God do what I want him to do for me. It's boasting. It's grumbling. And I do want to read from Exodus 16:8. It says, this is Moses. This will happen when the Lord gives you meat to eat in the evening and bread to the full in the morning. And listen to this part. For the Lord hears your grumblings, which you grumble against me? No. You grumble against him. And what are we? Your grumblings are not against us, but against the Lord. When we grumble and complain, we're grumbling and complaining against the Lord. You'll see actions of biting and devouring, disputing. You'll see criticizing and judging. You'll see prayerlessness. you'll see withdrawing. And this is one to be really, really careful of. Proverbs 18:1 says, "He who separates himself seeks his own desire. He quarrels against all sound wisdom." If you find yourself withdrawing from the body of Christ, from your small group, from coming to Wellspring, from being part of the body, watch out. Reach out to somebody. Returning evil for good. And I do want to say that these actions are not the marks of a believer. These attitudes are not the marks of a believer. If you find yourself living here most of the time, please, please, please talk with someone. Talk with your discussion group leader, someone in your small group. Talk to someone, because we are called to check up on ourselves and see if we're really in the faith. Okay, and then the other warning is, be careful, because some people have very sensitive consciences and they're like, "Oh, I was bitter this morning, I'm not a believer." Okay. Again, it's both ends of the spectrum. Either ignoring the warnings or being so overly sensitive. Okay. So let's look now at what taking your thoughts captive and thinking rightly and shepherding your heart throughout the day should look like. So it's the beautiful blue spiral. And it's blue because that's my favorite color. So it's I desire plus what I truly deserve equals no demands. So what it is, what I desire, is I hold my desire with an open hand before the Lord, seeking his will. And remember, if what you're wanting is something sinful, repent. Don't fiddle around with that. We need to ask the Lord. And so if you start at the bottom of this spiral, we make our requests known to the Lord. So we ask God, okay? And we understand, so I desire then what I truly deserve. And what do I truly deserve? Is it a wonderful best life now? No. What I deserve, what I have earned for myself, is hell and God's wrath. But God, okay? God's word tells us we deserve death. But for the believer, the worst day here on earth, the hardest, most heart-wrenching, awful day, is better than we deserve. And for the non-believer, this is as good as it's going to get, which is terrifying. Having a biblical understanding of what we truly deserve helps us to think rightly. From a book that's out of print, but you can get it for free as a PDF, is The Greener Grass Conspiracy. And it talks, again, about the gospel, as Melissa talked about the gospel. Do you see how the gospel should obliterate complaining? Complaining is always rooted in a faulty sense of rights and privileges. Each of us, and I love this part, this is why I'm sharing this. Each of us has a lengthy list of things that we think we deserve. When life starts to short circuit and we don't get what we deserve, we start complaining. We imagine ourselves as the injured party who has every right to complain. But the gospel makes it very clear that the only thing we truly deserve is hell. God created us, and therefore he owns us. As created dependent beings, we owe him complete, unwavering allegiance and obedience. So we make our request known to God with an open hand, understanding that what we deserve is wrath and death, and we make no demand. And you'll see the attitudes that come along with shepherding our hearts. We'll see that we're submissive. We'll see contentment. It will be not seeking my own way, not being wise in my own estimation. You'll see humility. I'll be humble. I'll be peaceable and peaceful. I'll be joyful. I'll be self-controlled. I'll be enduring, strengthened, trusting. And the actions you'll see, and we're going to start at the bottom of the spiral and work our way up, okay? I'll be asking God. I'll make my request known to God. That's the starting place. I'll be devoted to prayer. I'll be loving. I'll be kind. We'll be gentle. We'll be thankful, forgiving, patient, not vengeful, overcoming evil with God, with good. As we shepherd our hearts throughout the day, we'll make those requests known to God. We're going to walk, we'll make that request, and you'll see in them as we're working our way up, we'll be obedient and we'll be hopeful. And that's how this kind of looks. And honestly, we could stop right here and just say, go look up all those verses and be done. But we're not going to. We're going to keep going. I have more time. So what we're going to look at is, okay, I want to be living here, okay? I want my thought life, and I want my life to reflect the image of Christ. How in the world do we do that? I spent time in God's Word. Didn't that just take care of it? No. This is every day, every moment. When you wake up in the middle of the night, if you're under 40, you probably don't do that. If you're over 40, you do. And even in the middle of the night, I have to shepherd my heart. It's gotten more frequent the older I get. But these diagrams are kind of a symptom checker. You can evaluate your life using that. But now I just want to give some suggestions of how do you shepherd? How do I shepherd my heart throughout the day? How do I guard my thoughts? How do you guard your thoughts? And I want to give lots of reminders when I teach, because I feel like everything has a little asterisk after it. Don't forget this. And this one's pretty critical. Remember, our goal is not to just put on right thinking, okay? That's a good goal. But my goal is to glorify God in everything I do. 1 Corinthians 10:31 says, whether then you eat or drink, okay? Easy peasy, drink the coffee, eat some food, stuff we do every day. Whether then you eat or drink, whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. And 2 Corinthians 5:9 says, so whether we are at home or away, so whether I'm at my house or I'm here, wherever I am, grocery store, baseball fields, spend a lot of time there, we make it our aim to please him. And there's a way that Dr. Charles Hodges, he's one of the ACBC biblical counseling guys, he's an actual doctor who's got some really great things to say, but this sentence has been really helpful. And it puts these two verses together. I want to glorify God in my life more than I want to breathe. That's a good goal. So no matter what I'm doing, I want to glorify God in my life more than I want to breathe. So remember that. Okay, another little asterisk as we go through this. Consider, as you're evaluating your life, you're looking at these diagrams, ask yourself, how are you doing physically? Have you had enough sleep? That's a big deal. That is a huge deal. Are you getting some exercise? How are you eating? Did you just eat, five Diet Cokes and five Ding Dongs? I don't even know if they make those anymore. But did you just ingest that and now you feel like this? Okay, evaluate that. Our physical body does impact us. If I have a migraine headache or I've just, you know, run my foot into the couch and, you know, I'm bleeding, it's a little bit harder for me to praise the Lord. I'm called to do it. I want to glorify God in my life more than I want to breathe. But at those moments, it's a little bit harder. It's kind of easy in here to glorify God. You know, it's nice, it's comfortable. But in the hard things, that can be really rough. So evaluate that. And also, the people you live with, evaluate that for them. You know, if you know that your family member has just not slept at all, they're probably going to be a little grouchy. It's not okay if we're talking to them, but I'm talking to, if you're the one seeing that in someone, please give them grace, because you would want grace shown to you. Another thing to consider is, what are you filling your mind with? Is it maybe music that's maybe kind of on the edge? TV shows, maybe kind of on the edge? Books, magazines, internet, the news? That can be a really bad one. If you're someone that struggles with fear, worry, and anxiety, and you're watching the news every day and you're reading about some of the horrible, awful things that are going on in our world, it will make you crazy and it will make it harder for you to shepherd your heart. You're making your life harder than it needs to be. I think we probably have all heard the old adage, garbage in, garbage out. If I'm filling my mind with that, I'm just making the battle harder. So I just want to give you some practical things throughout the day to go through, to think about. This is not like new and came up with the 3-point plan of how to have this awesome life. These are just things you know, but just I want to remind you. The first one is to pray. That is the foundation. Ask for God's help. He cares for us. Pray. If you're struggling with your thought life, pray. Lord, I don't want to think like this. Will you please help me? Psalm 139, 23 and 24 says, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxieties. And see if there is any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." Pray. Ask for his help. Second one is to ponder. Ponder the attributes of God. And that's part of your homework this week. You will look, I believe, at Psalm 103. And I just want to read a few things. Attributes of God. Forget none of his benefits. Who pardons all your iniquities? God pardons. He heals. He redeems our life from the pit. He crowns with loving kindness. The Lord has compassion on those who fear him. God is amazing. And studying his attributes is a great thing to do to help you with your thought life. In our small group, we've been going through A.W. Pink's The Attributes of God. So, The Attributes of God, and you can get The Attributes of God by Pink for free as a PDF online. And I just wanted to read something that just impacted me as we were going through the supremacy of God. And just think, if I'm struggling and I read this, how this will help your heart. I know it helped me. God's supremacy over the works of his hands is vividly depicted in Scripture. Inanimate matter, irrational creatures all perform their Maker's bidding. At his pleasure, the Red Sea divided, and its waters stood up as walls. The earth opened her mouth, and guilty rebels went down alive into the pit. That's Numbers 16. The previous one was Exodus 14. When he so ordered, the sun stood still. That's Joshua 10. And on another occasion, went backward 10 degrees on the dial of Ahaz. That's Isaiah 38:8. To exemplify his supremacy, he made ravens carry food to Elijah. That's 1 Kings 17. Iron to swim on top of the waters, 2 Kings 6:5. Lions to be tame when Daniel was cast into their den. Fire to burn, not when the three Hebrews were flung into its flames. Thus, whatsoever the Lord pleased, that did he in heaven and in earth, in the seas, and all deep places. Thinking about that, pondering the attributes of God, will help your heart. Ponder truth. Philippians 4:8. Finally, brethren, whatever is true. On that, just think about what is true. So many times we are off in the dirt and mud of what's not true. Ponder whatever is true. And by the way, that is a command to think about what is true, what is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is of good repute. If there is any excellence and if anything worthy of praise, dwell on these things. Think about those things. That is a great verse to evaluate your thinking. And how am I shepherding my heart, my thoughts? Ponder your identity in Christ. And I have several. Okay, so I have a lot of resources to share just because I think resources can be helpful to know, okay, I'm struggling, where do I go? And this is from SMED, from, I forget now, I don't have it written down. It's in August, I think, of 2014. He did a message on the Christian's identity in Christ. And there's 7 pages, I think, of our identity in Christ. If I'm struggling feeling like, oh, I'm not a Christian, God hates me, I'm a loser, what, fill in the blank, okay? I pull this out. And I realize this is my identity. As a Christian, I am the called of Jesus Christ. I'm one whose faith is credited as righteousness. I'm blessed. I'm forgiven. I'm an inheritor of the world. I'm justified. I'm at peace with God. It's pages. This is who I am in Christ. Do you see how when you're struggling, how this will comfort your soul? I'm loved and chosen by God. I'm destined for salvation. I'm set apart by the Spirit. I mean, it's like, yay! This I keep in my Bible. I would encourage you to do that too. Okay. Then the other thing, okay. So, we didn't have a retreat. We had a conference, okay? At church. Who was at the conference this year? Cameron was? Yeah, okay, quite a few of you. And as I told you at that, this is like gold, okay? This is homework, right here. Pages. Look at that. Like, this is for 10-year-old font. I have to give it to my grandkids. Can you read that to Grandma? I can't see it. But these are all scriptures talking about the believer's benefits from Christ's suffering. That's this. And this is a paragraph about it. Ladies, this is gold. If you're struggling, if your thought life is haunting you, pull this out, grab your Bible, and get to work. Listen, this is all This is online. These notes are online. Cameron's teaching, Scott's teaching, it's online. It's free. It's like balm to your soul. You can listen to our sweet Cameron called to endure with joy. Sometimes life we have to endure. It's not easy. This is not all just sunshine and unicorns and rainbows. Life is hard. There are hard things that go on. This will help you. Okay. And, oh yeah, I brought another one. Uh-oh. Okay. Homesick for your permanent residence. We did have a retreat that year where we went away to Scottsdale. This is about heaven. If you're struggling, thinking about heaven, and there are 11 women's retreats that are online on all different subjects. We've had one on prayer, we've had one longing for heaven, Titus, Colossians, and a bunch more. We have no excuse. We've got a lot of resources. And there are some bad resources out there, but this sounds arrogant, it's not meant to, but if you go to our website, but if you go to Grace Bible Church, you still need to be a Berean. I could say something heretical. If I do, please come tell me, let's talk. But it's a little bit safer, okay? There's tons of resources. There's sermons, there's messages. Go there. Go listen to that it's end of August 2014. I think it's called One New Man. That message from Smed is like a stand up and cheer. If you're struggling, you get to the part where he reads those pages and you're like at the end, like, yes, thank you, Lord. Okay. I went way off. So, the next thing, the promises. The promises of God are, this is a quote, okay, from the Greener Grass Conspiracy, which you cannot buy this book. I didn't bring it. It's green on the cover. You can't buy it, but you can get it for free. I enjoyed that book. The promises of God are our weapons in the battle against discontentment, and I believe the battle against wrong thinking. For every temptation to be discontent or think wrongly, there's a promise of God that meets that temptation. The abundant grace of God promised in the scriptures far exceeds any circumstance we encounter. But if we're going to fight discontentment or wrong thinking effectively, we need to stockpile our weapons. And what's our weapon? Our weapons are God's word. It's God's promises. When temptation strikes, we need to have go-to promises to sustain and strengthen us. There should be pages in our Bible that are tattered and torn from constant use. I know we talk about reading plans, getting through scripture in a year, 2 years, 3 years, whatever. But I will tell you, I believe it is important to have go-to passages that when, you know, the tears are flowing, you can't think straight, whatever, that you can go there and comfort your heart. I just highly recommend that. So my Bible is like, got it in like 92, so I don't know how, I can't do math fast. But there are places I know, okay, that when I'm feeling anxious, I know to go, it's on the left page, on the left side, right here, you know, and I can find it fast to know, wait a minute, that's the one about the birds, and God cares about the birds, so of course he cares about me. We need to have those places to go. Romans 8 is one for me that's full of promises that I go to often. And I'm going to read it because I love it, and it just is one of, it can feel like that warm blanket on an ice cold day, knowing that God cares for me. Verse 28, and we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. For those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to become conformed to the image of his Son, so that he would be the firstborn among many brethren. And these whom he predestined, he also called. And those whom he called, he also justified. And these whom he justified, he also glorified. What then shall we say to these things? And I love this. If God is for us, who is against us? He who did not spare his own Son, but delivered him over for us all, how will he not also with him freely give us all things? Who will bring a charge against God's elect? When I feel like I have charges against me, I can go here. Who will bring a charge against God's elect? God is the one who justifies. Who is the one who condemns? Christ Jesus is he who died, yes, rather who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who also intercedes for us. Jesus is interceding for us. Who will separate us from the love of God? Will tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? I have not gone through tribulation. I've had some distress. Persecution, not so much. Famine, Nakedness, praise the Lord, thank you, no. Peril, driving here, that's peril. Sword, nope. But think of those things. That we're not separated. Just as it is written, for your sake, we are being put to death all day long. We were considered as sheep to be slaughtered. But in all these things, we don't just a little bit, we overwhelmingly conquer through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor heights, nor depths, nor any other created thing will be able to separate me, separate us, separate believers from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. That is a promise that we can remind ourselves when we're struggling. Number four. Okay, people. People from the past. Spend time studying the heroes of the faith. Joseph. Think of Joseph, his brother's sermon to a pit. And what at the end did he say? God intended what you intended for evil, God intended for good. We can see that in itty bitty ways, sometimes in our lives. And when it happens, it's kind of like a Joseph moment where, oh, I can see how this thing that I thought was such a big disaster, God worked it. Praise the Lord. Study those heroes of the faith. Joseph, Job, Paul, Jesus. Look at our Savior. Read Hebrews 11 and 12, 1 Peter. Look at the heroes of the faith. You look at people from our lifetimes. Heroes like our friend Matt Dodd. Jacob Hantla, the Hantla family, what they have been going through. Old saints who are trusting the Lord, that you see that life's hard for them. Young saints that are going through difficulties. You can talk with them and you will be encouraged. If you need to be encouraged, you go find Cameron and just talk to her for like, I don't know, not even 30 seconds, and you will be lifted from the pit. We need each other. We need to keep other believers at close range. That's why being in small groups is so important. That's why our Wellspring discussion groups are so important. We need to, as Hebrews 10, 24 and 25 says, let us consider how to stimulate one another to love and good deeds, not forsaking our own assembling together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. And then, still under number four, because we're still talking about people, prefer other people. Romans 12:10 says, be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Give preference to one another in honor. By preferring other people and serving others, that the Lord will use, it will help you in your battle with your thought life as you shepherd your heart every day. And Melissa and I did not plan this, but number five is preach. It's preach the gospel to yourself every day. I brought along the gospel primer, but I like to call it primer, but primer is paint. Primer is this, but that sounds weird. This is like a little jewel. And again, don't let these replace God's word, but this helps us, okay? I'm reading from page 21. So as you're preaching the gospel to yourself every day, I just pulled this out and grabbed a passage. The righteousness of God, credited to me through Christ, is not merely something I rest in, but it is also the premier saving reality by which God governs me. According to Romans 6, when I obeyed the gospel call, I was both declared righteous and became a slave to righteousness at the same time. Quite literally, the righteousness that God credited to me became my master on the day I was converted. And the gospel, as Melissa said, it's not, sometimes we think, oh, I need to share the gospel with my unbelieving family, friends, whatever. I don't need the gospel anymore. No, no, no. I need to remember that God saves sinners. I need to remind myself that every day. But I also need to remember, God didn't just save me. He sanctified me. He makes me more like Christ. Titus 2:11 says, for the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation to all men, instructing us to deny ungodliness and worldly desires, and to live sensibly, righteously, and godly in the present age, looking for the blessed hope and the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Christ Jesus. And listen to why Jesus saved us, who gave himself for us to redeem us from every lawless deed and to purify for himself a people for his own possession, zealous for good deeds. Jesus paid not just to save us, but to sanctify us. So we need to preach that to ourselves every day. The Psalms, that's another place. If you're having, and just in general, the Psalms is a great place to go. And I wanted to share another book. This is called Dark Clouds, Deep Mercy, Discovering the Grace of Lament. Just the appendix is worth having this book because it has a list of complaints. We can complain to the Lord. We need to do it carefully and biblically. But here's a why question that Psalm 10:1 says. Why, O Lord, do you stand far off? Why do you hide yourselves in times of trouble? Well, doesn't that sound like heresy, ladies? That's Psalm 10:1. It's not heresy.
The name of that book again?
Oh, Dark Clouds, Deep Mercy. Okay. I cannot. Mark Vroegop. Vroegop. I believe we have this. Now, I know Scott mentioned this book at the retreat or the conference. There's a couple things there, maybe a little, but the bulk of it is good, okay? But there's a couple things that maybe we can talk about that later, that maybe we would be like, be careful. But that's any book besides the Bible. Eat the meat, throw out the bones, okay? Get the good stuff, the appendix. It lists complaints, then Psalms of Lament, where you hear the psalmist who's crying out and saying, Lord, where are you? Have you forgotten me? Will you forget me forever? My enemies are over me. I'm in trouble. Okay, that's Psalm 13, version by Anne. Not so good. But it goes to verse 5. But I'll remember your faithfulness. Okay? There's just nothing better than the Psalms. Okay? Number 7. Praise. Singing and worship. Okay? If you're struggling with intrusive thoughts, listening to solid Christian music and singing out loud, even if you can't carry a tune in a bucket, will help you. Because you know what? When I'm having those thoughts like, you know, whatever they are, okay? If I start singing out loud, I can't do all those things at once. So as I'm singing, come thou fount of every blessing. You know, I can't do that and have the intrusive thoughts, I'll put them away. We have Grace Bible Church Spotify. So again, there's some not so great Christian songs out there that become, you know, it's all about me. I want songs that are all about him. Josh has collected a lot of the songs we sing. That's a great place to go, and it's free. Most of you, if you've done Wellspring, you have a songbook. If you're new to Wellspring, you will be getting a little songbook eventually. Grab those songs. If you can't sing, read them out loud. It will help your heart. And Colossians 3:16 tells us to do this. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. Praise God for his many blessings. Perspective. Keep eternity in view. Colossians 3:1 and 2 says, therefore, if you have been raised up with Christ, keep seeking the things above where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on the things that are on earth. John 14:1 says, do not let your heart be troubled. Okay, if your heart's troubled, do this. Believe in God. Believe also in me. These are Jesus' words. In my Father's house are many dwelling places. If it were not so, I would have told you. For I go to prepare a place for you. If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may also be. Thinking about heaven, and that's where the retreat we did on heaven, that will comfort your soul. Number 9, provision. Think about this. God is our provider. He provides us a relationship with his Son. He provides us with the Holy Spirit. He provides us with the Bible. He provides us with his saving and enabling grace in order for us to respond in a godly fashion. 2 Peter 1:3 says, seeing that his divine power, that's God's divine power, has granted to us a few things pertaining to life and godliness. It does not say a few things. It says everything pertaining to life and godliness through the true knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and excellence. Number 10 is prepare. We all have times, I think, where we find ourselves in that downward spiral where we're disappointed and discouraged and maybe despairing. We need to prepare. Maybe you're in the midst of that right now, and it's like, I can't prepare right now. Well, okay, but I've given you like, not 100. That's an exaggeration. I've so far given you 9 things to prepare yourself, okay? Pick one. If you are find yourself living there in that, if you're disappointed, discouraged, and despairing, choose one. Go grab your Bible and open up to the Psalms. Go read Romans 8. Put on praise music and start singing out loud. Do something. If right now you're not there and you're maybe making a request to the Lord and you're being obedient and you're feeling hopeful, prepare, okay? Sometimes, ladies, it is just, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. But prepare, because you know what? Life throws challenges at us. We have struggles. If you're in a moment of things going well, be thankful. Spend time now knowing God deeper and deeper, better and better, so that when the floods come, you know what to do. You're prepared. And you know what? Well, you're here. Wellspring is part of the preparation process. Be in a small group. That is part of the preparation process. Memorize God's word. That is part of the preparation process. Have passages ready in your mind that when you're struggling, that you know, there is no condemnation for me because I'm in Christ Jesus. And number 11, practice, press on, and persevere. So three more P words. Practice, press on, and persevere. Philippians 4:8 says, finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just. Okay, I won't read all that again. But it says, Paul said, what you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, this is what you've seen in Paul, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you. If I'm practicing these things, whatever's true, whatever's honorable, what the things that I saw Paul do, as I'm following Jesus, the God of peace will be with me. And just do the next right thing. If you're like feeling like, I can't even see straight, and I don't know what to do. I'm lost. I'm feeling desperate. If you're in that place, if you're in an extremely difficult situation, and those come, I know that. You know what? Your life right now may consist of just doing the next right thing, and the next right thing, and the next right thing. Spurgeon said, the very, very best thing in the world when you are nervous and troubled is to live by very short periods. Live by the day, or better still, live moment by moment. Something for me, when I'm in the feeling like, okay, Lord, I can't really see above, I just can't. It's probably more I won't. And I read this earlier, but this is one of my go-to passages, is Romans 8:38. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things past, nor things present, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing can separate me from the love that's in Christ Jesus. That is one of those verses. When I feel like I need to be talking to myself, that's what I tell myself. One more thing. Okay. So, remember this. my goal, your goal, our goal, as we shepherd our hearts throughout the day, both when we're reading our Bibles and having a quiet time, or throughout the day, my goal isn't just to, you know, spend time reading my Bible or just spend time, you know, thinking my acts together. My goal is to glorify God in everything I do. I'm going to read the verses again. Whether then you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. And 2 Corinthians 5:9, whether we are at home or away, we make it our aim to please Him. I want to glorify God in my life more than I want to breathe. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this time, Lord. Thank you for your word. Thank you that you have given us promises, that you have given us each other. You've given us your Son. You've given us your Spirit. You've given us yourself. Lord, we have so much, and still we can find ourselves grumbling and complaining. There are times where life is hard. But Lord, you do take hard things and you use them to make us more like Jesus. So thank you, Lord. Thank you for the good things. Thank you for what we call bad things that somehow you use and make us more like Jesus. You are a good and faithful God. You loved us. You called us. You sanctified us, and you will glorify us, Lord, until Jesus comes or we go to be with you. Lord, help us to glorify you in everything we do. In Jesus' name, amen.